This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, thank you so much, Parker, and welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. I remember it like it was yesterday. A good friend of mine called me up, telling me that I simply had to go to YouTube and search for Vanessa Collier's set at the Chicago Blues Festival from 2024. If you hit that link in the information section of this episode and go to the 1 hour and 43 minute mark, you're going to see exactly what I did. There on my screen was Vanessa Collier blasting out of the gates with this powerful female guitar player with her, and I was mesmerized. It was then that I first learned of today's guest. She is widely celebrated for her fiery technique, emotional depth, and unmistakable tone. And let me tell you, there's a reason that she's worked and collaborated with the likes of the late Candy Kane, Monster Mike Welch, the Manish Boys, Vanessa, of course, and others. She has multiple BMA nominations for instrumentalist on guitar, and she is the first and only female to receive this prestigious honor in 2023. She also has a hot new album out. We're going to talk about that and a lot more. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to welcome this powerhouse woman of the blues as my guest today, rough recording artist Laura Chavez. Welcome to Time Signatures. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure, and I have to tell you, I'm so excited because, I mean, I just absolutely love what you bring to the table as a musician. Now, I assure you we're going to talk about this album, but as I told you earlier, we have to get some of your history because I'm an absolute fan, Laura. Where did you get your start in music?
Well, if we go all the way back,
sure.
I took piano lessons when I was 5 and 6. And then that didn't really take. My mom was a piano player in the house, mainly just playing, you know, a hobbyist, reading sheet music and just playing kind of popular music. And I always loved to listen to her. And I was always very drawn to music itself anyway. It was always on in the car. I always kind of took note of it when it was on. I'd hum along, sing along, whatever, when I was a little kid. And all my earliest memories all have music attached to them somehow. I remember what song was playing when something was happening. And so I was always like very interested in music and I loved it. I wanted to learn how to play the guitar. First time I tried, I was about 8 and it did not go well at all. At that point, I loved classic rock. I loved the music my parents were playing. My brother had all these records. So that's kind of why I was drawn to the guitar in the first place. It didn't go well, and then I picked it back up again when I was 13 or so, and I got an electric guitar and kind of never stopped.
Wow. Now, we have to pay homage to one of your biggest fans, because as I read, your late bandleader Candy Kane made it her mission to ensure that the world knew who Laura Chavez was, didn't she?
That's right. She definitely went out of her way.
Was she one of your earliest supporters, do you think?
I mean, I was playing in a band and had toured across the country and for about 8 years before I ever met Candy or we knew each other. So I joined her band when I was 25 and I kind of started playing professionally when I was 18.
Wow.
So she'd never heard of me. We didn't know each other before that. So from the time I joined her band, she did a lot to try to raise my profile and make sure everybody knew me and to support me and to really promote me. And as she was kind of reaching the end of her time here, I think she tried even harder to make sure that that happened.
Well, I think between her work and your work as a musician, that's, you know, pretty good combination if you ask me. Yeah. But that's quite the opposite of your first guitar teacher at the tender age of 8, wasn't it? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, oh wow, you did your homework. You know the story. it was funny. I had a classical guitar teacher and I just took lessons at school and it was me and another boy in my class and the teacher was very I'll just say, I mean, he gave all the attention, all the instruction to the boy and paid no attention to me. And I was
Wow.
just kind of sitting there. And it eventually got to be so bad that my parents would drop me, or my mom would drop me off at the lessons. I would go hide in the bushes until it was time to be picked up. I never even went to
Man.
the guitar lesson at all. And then eventually, they decided that that was not the best use of their time, my time, or anyone's money. So that stopped. But I do like to tell that story. It's funny. Years later, when I started teaching in the Bay Area, we were teaching at like competing music stores, sort of. And he, every once in a while, he would come in to the store where I taught, and he'd peer through the window and kind of look at
Wow.
me. It was kind of funny. I know I ended up with some of his students. So
Well, all I have to say is I am thankful that you look past that first teacher, Laura, because I can't imagine a world without your music, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
So you said you started at about 18, where you really started getting in earnest, playing as a musician. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd never played really in front of an audience until then. There was across the street from the Guitar Center, where I used to go and buy everything and play all the guitars and
Sure.
everything, there was a really well-known tiny little shotgun of a club called JJ's Blues in San Jose. And everyone from Albert Collins, Buddy Guy, Junior Wells, Coco Taylor, they all played at this club. And that they had for a minute in the late 80s, early 90s, a little empire of blues clubs in the Bay Area, this family that ran it. But by
Sure.
the time this would have been like the year 2000, they were just down to the one. And I knew there was this club across the street. I'd read about who was coming to play there. I was underage, I could never get in. But I'd heard that if you were playing, you were allowed to be in the club. So I decided
Okay.
to go. And I had no idea if I was good, if I was good enough. I had no idea of anything. So my parents brought me down there just so I could see if I was, good enough to play with the band that happened to be running the jam at the time. And I ended up getting up there, and it was like a couple few weeks later, because I have to wait outside the door until it was my turn to play because I was
Oh,
underage.
wow.
And this went on for years of me having to do some semblance of that, whether it be sit on the stage or wait in the parking lot or whatever. But because of that situation, I think the band felt sorry for me, so that they just let me play the whole night. And then I ended up joining the band. And then that was the first band that I really played with, the Laura Price Band, for about 8 years, all over with it. We went to Memphis and did the IBC, and we did a couple cross country tours and put
Nice.
out three albums. And yeah, so it ended up being really good that I did that.
Have you kept in contact with her?
We played together for 8 years, and then when I joined Kennedy, we kind of had a couple years where we didn't. And then she was still living in the Bay Area, and I was still living in the Bay Area, and we did some other shows together. And I played on a couple of her last albums, and then she moved to Austin. And since then, I haven't played with her much, but I did go down to Austin a couple months ago and just to hang out. So that was cool.
That's very cool. Yeah. Now, I think one of the coolest parts of your story is the fact that you were accepted to the University of California at Berkeley, was it? For a pre-med?
Well, that was my plan, was to go to medical school.
Wow.
And
We almost didn't
never.
have you.
Well, I was, by the time all that happened, I was like, needed a break from school anyway. And as you can see, I've not really gone back. But yes,
And
that
for
did
that, we're
happen.
thankful. Now, as I noted in the early part of this episode, you've collaborated and shared the stage with a phenomenal who's who of blues musician. I know that it would be difficult to choose any favorites from those you worked with, but are there any stories that you can share with us from those collaborations? Anything fun?
I mean, they're all fun. They've all brought something out of me that I didn't have before I started to play with them. I mean, Candy certainly, we've discussed, was, pivotal in terms of getting my name out there and
Sure.
recognition and everything. I like, for us, when it came to writing music and stuff, it was always just so easy, and I loved that. I love collaborating with people just in general. And I love that she was so open and gave me so much space to collaborate with her in that regard and let me produce the albums for her and all of that. So that was great and definitely was also pivotal in terms of getting me kind of out in front. I was always very shy. I still am, but I'm a little bit more, you know, I move around a little bit more. I get out in front a little bit more than I ever used to. I still hide behind my hat, but it's, you know, so that's something, you know, and, you know, with Vanessa, it's, that also is kind of, I think, a really special collaboration. I think,
yes,
you know,
ma'am.
The energy between the two of us is, and the way we play off each other and whatnot is a rare thing. And so, I mean, that's special. I've gotten to record on, done numerous sessions, a lot for different Roof artists. I just did a couple albums with Mitch Ryder, the old 60s rocker, you know, Detroit Wheels. And I mean, that in itself, just someone of that stature and with that history and everything, I mean, just having that to learn how he approaches, you know, recording and writing and all of that was amazing. And got to do an album with Don Was with him. And
wow.
Just every single session I've done, I've always learned something. I've always taken something from it. So, and there's been lots of fun as far as that goes, but
sure. I want to go back to Vanessa Collier because you absolutely do have a chemistry with her. Was 2024 your first visit to Chicago to the Blues Festival as a performer?
Yes. That's the first time I ever did the festival. Yeah.
What was that experience like for you? I got to ask you.
Well, that was always the Chicago Blues Fest was always like a bucket list event that I always wanted to do. So it was amazing. It was great to get to do it. I was so happy that she got that opportunity to be on that stage. Unfortunately, it was the one day that it decided, like, the skies opened up and just poured. So, right during our set. So it could have been better attended, but it was still great. I mean, everything about it is great. The sound, the crew, everything. So, and just like I said, to have done that festival now, it was always at the top of a list that of things I always wanted to do. And yeah.
Well, I'll have you know, I watched it again today for the second time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And and from the start, man, you guys never played. And the only reason that I knew that it was not well attended is because the guy that introduced you said, you know, let's pretend there's a great big crowd here and, you know, let's have a, you know, and I'm thinking, you guys didn't act like that at all. But
no.
when Vanessa came to play at Kalamazoo, I'm going to admit to you, I was really disappointed. Not in her. I had a blast. She put on a great show, but I was really disappointed because I walked up and I said, is Laura playing with you today? And she's like, no, she's, and I was like, oh man, you know, because seeing you guys, and I'm not just fanboying here. I'm just seriously, the chemistry you guys have, you guys were both shot out of a cannon from the very first note, and you put it all out there on the stage. And I think that's something that, you know, you don't see all the time. So when you see it, it's very refreshing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I for sure. And I think I've always tried to, I think I'd done and I didn't realize I was doing it. And I didn't realize it was like a rare thing, but I think that has to do with the fact that I started so young or just, you know, as a teenager, and that's how you are when you're 18. And I just kind of never let up. So for me, that's like the only way to do it. And I love that about Vanessa and about same thing. I also tour full time with Nikki Hill. So that's part of my thing is I try to balance the two of them. Both of them, it doesn't matter if there's two people in the audience. It doesn't matter if there's 20,000 people in the audience. It doesn't matter if the sound sucks. It does not matter. They are always going to give 180%. All the time. Like I have no choice but to really do that also, but I can't imagine not wanting to do it.
Well, and you guys seem to play off of each other. And I think that's part of that chemistry that you don't see with all bands. I mean, it's wonderful when you get to see it though. It's kind of magical. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Like I said, it's a rare special thing. And I don't take it for granted at all. I do what I can to make sure that people know that's how I feel about it also.
Right on. Well, Laura, I'm going to turn the page here. You said in an earlier interview that the pandemic was particularly difficult for you because it caused you to doubt the future that you had in front of you. And it also caused sort of an identity crisis. Talk about that period of time for just a moment, would you please?
Well, from the time I was 18, like I've just always been a musician. That's how people know me when I walk around in San Diego now where I live. Everyone's
Sure.
like, "Oh, I'm the guitar player." That's how everybody knows me. That's all I've never made a single dollar in my life doing anything other than playing the guitar, whether it be teaching, whether it be playing, performing, recording. So when that all just kind of abruptly the bottom fell out, I was like, "Oh, wow, what am I even gonna do? I don't
Oh,
know.
yeah.
I don't have an idea." And it was also difficult because I don't stay in one place for very long. I never have. Like once I started touring, it's like even in my home, like by the third day I'm here, I'm kind of like, "Okay, I'm ready to go." As much as I can't wait to go home sometimes, you know, or it's like, "Oh,
Right.
it'll be nice to get home for a couple of days." It's like by a couple of days I'm ready to go. So the idea that I was like stuck here and not only stuck at home, but like actually stuck in my home, like as we all were, you know, we all remember
Yes,
that.
ma'am.
It was kind of a weird thing. But yeah, I didn't know, you know, there's so much in the music industry. It's already hanging on by a thread in so many different ways. And to
Yes,
have
ma'am.
a threat like that come in and just, you know, I didn't know what was going to be left on the other side of it. And even if live music returned, would I still have a place in it? Some of us, you know, that was a point we were all, most of my friends, that we all had like a really great year planned, and then it all just fell apart right there. And you never know, you know, not everyone got to come back from that. So
Right. Yeah. How do you feel that period of time changed you both as a performer and an individual?
well, one thing, I didn't touch a guitar. There was a point where I didn't touch a guitar for about 2 months, and I'd never done anything. I've never nothing like that. I'd never done that in, you know, almost 30 years of like. So once I did, I remember I went to teach like a Zoom lesson, and I couldn't play. My fingers hurt. Like all my calluses were gone. I had no idea it was gonna. Something like that would happen, and I thought, okay, well, I will never let this happen again. It was cool in a lot of ways. It kind of connected me to, I had moved to San Diego in 2018, and I had a lot of friends here, but I was always touring, so I never really established any sort of roots here really at home when I wasn't on tour, as far as collaborating with a lot of musicians in San Diego. So it gave me a chance to do that a lot more, and I kind of reemerged on the other end, busier than ever. And I also loved one of the artists that I play with, based in San Diego, that came out of that time, is a he's a singer, songwriter, guitar player named Chicken Bone Slim. And he was lucky, he was fortunate to be able to take advantage of the fact that I was home, and Marty, the drummer that I also play with Nikki, was home, and we took that time and started to work on songs that we made a recording, and we started doing this. Once things started to open up a little bit, we started to do this busking thing down in the Little Italy downtown San Diego, where busking, but we were bringing generators and whole drum kits
Sure.
and, you know, playing down there on the street. And it was just really cool to see how people were resourceful with what they could do at that time to bring live music to people, and how grateful people were to have it again. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I don't take any of it for granted. I tried to a lot in my life. That's kind of, you know, whether it be Candy's death or, you know, just other things that have happened, I try to always take a moment to realize how fortunate I am, and you know, that was like another one of those moments where, man, okay, everything got taken away in a minute, and then, you know, trying to build
Sure.
it all back. So that's
Yeah.
definitely one thing I took from that.
Okay. I have to ask you, since you're in the San Diego area, are you familiar with Earl Thomas? Have you done any collabs with him?
I've never collaborated with him. No, it's funny.
Really?
He was also a really good friend of Candy's. For whatever reason,
Wow.
you can ask Earl. I don't know. That's never come about.
I would love to see you two together. That'd be fun, man. But listen, you have had several BMA nominations for the instrumentalist guitar category. You won the award in 2023, the first female, the only female to win it. Talk about the importance of that award to you, and how cool is it that you're the only female to win this award?
Well, so I remember I was the first female to be nominated for it also, and there have been, I know Sue Foley and Joanna Connor since, and they both deserve to be
Oh,
nominated
yeah.
also, and always did. I remember feeling like that was for, you know, it's funny. People come up to me all the time, I'm sure you can imagine, and it's like, you're just the best female, you're the best woman guitar player. I've never heard a girl play like you, and it's like they can't get past it. It's almost like they can't not say it. But I never have felt that from the majority of like my peers in the music industry, and the other guitar players and other musicians have never projected that onto me. I felt like for the most part, I had just assumed or I felt that they saw me as just any other guitar player. And so it was cool in that moment when I first got nominated to finally be just a guitar player and to be what I felt like I was finally, you know, it was my own merits that put me there. And so when I finally did win, also, I felt like, you know, I didn't win it the first year, I didn't win it the second year, whatever. It was like I earned it. And it wasn't just because, oh, let's give it to this would be fun. Like, let's give it to the girl, you know, it'd be like it felt like I'd earned it, and I had, and the reaction of everybody was, I just remember everyone seemed genuinely happy that I'd won it and that I
Yeah,
deserved
but
it, and so it was amazing.
you strike me as somebody that is very easy to like. You're a
Well,
very
thank you.
likable individual, okay? Even if
Thank
you hide
you.
behind your hat.
I appreciate
Our,
that.
yes, ma'am. The new album is called My Voice, and as of the time of our meeting here this evening, it has only been out for a few weeks by my count. How
Yes.
is the album being received so far?
So far, it seems like all the reviews have been really good. Everyone that I've taught that has come up to me and said, "Oh my God, I got your album. It's great." I don't. I. It was such, I think, a surprise for people because while it seems obvious to people that I would maybe put an album out, I never had, and I'd always shied away from it and run the other way. And then all of a sudden, I did it, and I didn't tell anybody. And then, boom, there it was.
Well, Laura, it's tough to choose, but I finally did get a few select songs here that I have as my favorites.
Okay.
Among them, I give a nod to the uptempo Born on the Bayou, as I just said. Is it El Cascabel?
El Cascabel, yeah.
Yep. Mamba Negra
Okay, yeah.
and La Llorona.
La Llorona, yeah.
La Llorona.
Close,
Okay.
you got
Okay, great.
it.
That's okay. So you
Thank
kind of
you.
got You got to pay homage to your heritage as well in this, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to do something. I've always loved Latin music anyway, and I love
Sure.
mariachi music, and I love cumbias and all that kind of thing. And I actually hadn't played it, I don't think, since I played with Candy, and then I thought, well, that would
Wow.
be, I should bring that one back. So, yeah, and I was kind of going for like in the recording, kind of like a early 60s dinner music, exotica kind of vibe with it. But yes, and definitely, and then La Llorona is Thomas Roof, the label owner, he really wanted me to do a slow blues, and I was like, gosh, you know, it's just gonna, the whole idea of this album was to have something with themes and melodies and, you know, something that wasn't just my guitar wailing all the time. And I thought, I don't know how I'm gonna do that with the slow blues. But then I got this idea that maybe that was that I could use that song to get that across. I'd always loved the song. I love the melody. And so that's
Indeed.
where that idea came from.
And to Thomas Roof, please accept my apologies for
Oh.
mispronouncing the name of the company right out of the gate. Shame on me for that.
I think everybody does.
Yeah, but I don't like to. I like to do my home. I mean, I did my homework for you, so I
You
should have
did.
done
You
my
did.
homework there. So,
I don't. Yeah. No. You did.
Laura, where can we send folks to get a copy of this album? Maybe some merch if you have it, or to book you for a gig.
Sure. I've now finally, after over 20 years, I have my own website. It's
Woo!
www.lauratravez.com. I know it's taken me 20 years, I have a lot of, I've had a
It's
block
about
on a
damn
lot of,
time, girl.
it is. I'll have vinyls and CDs for all of that, but they're available in any other online retailer, or you can order it from the company or my website.
Laura Chavez, I cannot thank you enough for taking time to join me today on Time Signatures. I want to tell you, I wish you well in the future. If you ever need to talk about an album or a tour, please don't hesitate to contact me. If you get in or close to Michigan, I promise you I will come and support you. And I would really love to catch you again sometime
Okay.
and see you out there.
Are you in Kalamazoo?
I'm in the Lansing area.
Okay. I know I'm pretty sure I'll be up in Grand Rapids in August. I'll shoot you the info.
And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to our guest, Laura Chavez, but also to you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.
Baby, I'm